This morning, Krishna permitting, we will complete the entire chapter 7. And some further thoughts on some of our discussion yesterday evening, kind of a refresh. Specifically, there were two questions. Oh. Okay. There were two questions during the question and answer session that I'd like to discuss a little bit. One of them was Vilasa Mundry's question. Vilasa Mundry's question about this Vairagya Vidya Nija Bhakti Yoga. So just to refresh, this verse, Vairagya Vidya Nija Bhakti Yoga, it is Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's standing for over 500 years, nice definition or description of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Short. So her question was, is this Nija Bhakti Yoga and the Vairagya Vidya, how do they connect? And the conclusion of that discussion was the Vairagya and Vidya, they're subsets. I wanted to speak a little bit about that because it's the same as what we're doing here. It's Vairagya and Vidya that leads to bhakti. There are these two terms, anga, which means limb, and angi, which means that from which the limbs come, the source of the limbs. Like Krishna is avatari, and then there's avatars that come from avatari, incarnations that come from the source of all incarnations. So bhakti is the source, just as our acharyas described this way. Just as Krishna is eternal, bhakti is co-eternal. Radha is as eternal as Krishna is. There's not, once upon a time, Krishna was feeling lonely and he manifested Radha. They're eternal. Bhakti is co-eternal with Krishna. The living entity is co-eternal with Krishna. There is the eternal realm where everything is of the eternal and absolute nature. So what's the role of Vairagya and Vidya? Well, same as Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita has knowledge. It's a book of knowledge. But it's a subset of bhakti. It's not, those that just go for knowledge can't understand the message, because the message can be understood only by bhakti. Yet there's knowledge within bhakti. So we read Bhagavad Gita not for gathering knowledge. And we have our little knowledge basket over there. We put knowledge in our knowledge basket. Now we have a whole bunch of knowledge. That's not our approach. Our approach is cultivation of bhakti, and just like Rupa Goswami says, it gives a foothold. But supposing somebody is illiterate or something, but they have association of one who has bhakti, then they can understand everything. So we don't just wait to understand everything. We read Bhagavad Gita. And Bhagavad Gita is teaching detachment. Right away. You know, as soon as Krishna speaks, you're not this body, it's knowledge. It's, you know, detachment from the rest. Vairagya. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught Vairagya, Vidya, Nija Bhakti Yoga. It's subset. Prahlad Maharaj is doing the same thing. He did the same thing with his father, did the same thing with his teachers, he's doing the same thing with the classmates. Bhakti. That's the gift. Look at any section of the Bhagavatam, or, you know, Kapila Dev's teaching. Sankhya, over there is matter, and over here is spirit, we belong to spirit, meditate on spirit, become absorbed in spirit, engage in bhakti. The flow is knowledge and detachment. They're angas of the angi. The goal is, be clear what the goal is. Nija Bhakti Yoga. That's the gift of Mahaprabhu. That's the gift of the Bhagavatam. That's the gift of Prahlad Maharaj. And a second point, Ayodhya Rani was presenting some appreciation. She was calling it reflection. So I'm going to go visit that again. Narada is simply representing, Narada is representing, as according to Prahlad, Narayana, but we, you know, Lord Brahma in disciplic succession. Doesn't mean that Narada didn't receive any direct instruction, but he's speaking. Narada presented to Prahlad. Prahlad is presenting his classmates, and we're presenting what Prahlad presented. That's the parampara system. But the beauty, we'll give the credit to Prahlad, give the credit to the personality who got it also. But the starting point, I want to go through the sequence one more time, because the sequence is important. Like, what are the teachings? So we'll touch on some of these foundational messages. We've done it several times. We're doing it again purposefully. So it kind of stays with us when we leave here. Goes in, and it stays with you. Because the goal is to come to pure bhakti. And instructions will help us, if they're inside, to live according to what's inside, and move towards pure bhakti. That's the purpose. So, the first teaching was to his father. Best thing you've learned in school. I'm just going to say three phrase words. Dehinam, so we've heard them. Dehinam, those who receive a body. And griha, asat grahat. Asat, the temporary, grahat. That's my existence. It's I and mine. The gloss that Prabhupada gives for grahat is accepting the temporary as real. I have a body, and it's me. And then me leads to mine. Is this, as our discussion yesterday evening, the realm of duality. And one who's in this realm of duality, their intelligence, samudvigna diam, becomes filled with anxiety, and the mind becomes filled with anxiety, and material existence. That's foundational. I'm not going to repeat it. Then he goes on to the second one. Shishi Radha Shama Sundara Ki Jai. The second set of instructions was to the teachers. Where'd you learn this? Who's the enemy? So the phrase that they use, excuse me, the Prahlad uses is the two words in reverse order in two different circumstances, sva and para. Sva literally means oneself. In this case, the application is friend, me and mine. And para is the opposite, not mine. The enemy. One of the glosses that Prabhupada gives is with swapara is my business and someone else's business. And so there's the clash. That's the world of duality. That's what happens. It's just the way it happens. It's default. That's the system. If you identify with the body, a satrahat, and the happiness that's real is in terms of the body, I and mine, then the default is this friend and enemy. It's not a new teaching. It's a teaching from second canto. I'm just repeating some earlier messages so that it goes in and stays I and mine. Fundamental. This is Shukadeva Goswami speaking to Maharaj Parikshit. Second canto. The first teachings of the Bhagavatam from Shukadeva. I and mine. It's part of material consciousness. It's foundational for material consciousness, material existence. Here we are. And now so that's the anatomy of the material existence, and then comes the encouragement how to get out. Then the next really important verses for you to not just memorize and recite, but become absorbed in this Matir na Krishne Paratak Swatova Mithobi Vadyeta Grahakratana. So the Grihavrata, there it is again. Asat Grahat, Grihavrata. Grihavrata. Too addicted to the materialistic bodily conception of life. Too addicted. Addicted. And you can't, means you can't give it up. Addicted. Can't give it up. Even if someone comes along and tells you, and we go, yeah, not this, but we're too addicted. Or our own effort or a combination. That's the swatak parato. Matir na Krishne paratak swatova mitaha. Combination. You're stuck because of this grihavrata. Too addicted to the materialistic bodily conception of life. Matir na Krishne paratak svatova mito vipadyeta grahakratanam. Next. Adanta gobir vishatam tamishram punak punash charvata charvananam. Adanta gobir, uncontrolled senses. Vishatam tamishram, tama. Vishatam tamishram, gliding or parachuting quickly down to hell. Hellish existence. Doing what? Chewing the chewed. Again and again. Again and again. Not only in this lifetime, life after lifetime, and that's the program. Well, there's happiness out there. And that's in the next mega important verse. These are foundational teachings that Prahlad is expanding with his friends. Na te vidu svartha gatim hi vishnur. Darashaya ye bahir artamanina. Such persons described above, they don't know. Sva artha gatim, the goal of life. Instead, darashaya. Durashaya, Prabhupada's gloss, being ambitious to enjoy the material world. So, dur, asha means desire. Dur asha, bad desire. What's that? Too much, anxious, very enthusiastic, filled with anxiety, samudvigna, to enjoy the material world, like Black Friday. Bahir artha manina. What's their bahir artha manina? Manina, the mind. The contemplations of the mind is out there is artha, the goal. And the goal is sense gratification. Dharma artha, kama. Kama, it's out there. Just learn how to enjoy the senses and get a good education and mix this together with that and technology, and you get stuff that brings enjoyment, but it doesn't bring enjoyment. It doesn't bring happiness. It doesn't bring better quality of life, and it doesn't solve the problems of life. Bahirartha manina. Adanta yatandair. Andha yatandair upaniyamana. Andha yata andha. The blind leading the blind. Upaniyamana, follow the leader of blind people. Bound up with tight, strong ropes of fruitive activity. He's being really straight with Hiranyakashipu. And that's after describing the process of bhakti. So these are very, very important key verses in the entire Srimad Bhagavatam and certainly within Prahlad's teachings. So I'm repeating them. There's a flow. One upon the next, and they're foundational verses. So after saying all that, he tries to kill Prahlad. Can't kill Prahlad, he becomes fearful. Hiranyakashipu becomes fearful of his son, 5-year-old boy. And Chandanamarkha pacify him, and then he goes back to school, and then the teachers leave, and he gives this wonderful discussion, which we covered yesterday, chapter 6. Speaking of the, you know, detachment to knowledge that leads to bhakti. Same, you know, the manner of his speaking is different than Bhagavad Gita, but quite similar elements. And same as Kapila Dev's teachings to Devahuti. And it's the Bhagavatam. These are essential elements to get us from the attached to the temporary to the Shuddha Bhakti position. And it's not just information, it's elevation of consciousness through sound, letting the sound in. So at the end of chapter 6, the classmates go, wow. You heard this from Narada. How'd you get to hear this from Narada? Because we don't have the opportunity to hear from Narada. We only hear from Chandanamarkha. How'd this happen? And so that begins. That begins chapter 7. And the image is Narada speaking to Kayadu. And so Prahlad explains that the whole story we heard on Wednesday evening, the first night, you know, how did all of this happen? This happened by when Hiranyakashipu went to the Mandara Mountain to do his austerities, the demigods came, took over, the demons fled in the absence of their leader, Hiranyakashipu. They took over the palace, they ransacked the palace, they took over everything. And they found Kayadu, and they were arresting her, and Narada came. Narada instructed them, no. This isn't a demon, the son of Hiranyakashipu. This is a great devotee. This is even before their conversation, their instruction. He knew, because he's Narada, connected to Supersoul. He knew. And so then she went at Narada's instruction, and the demigods just accepted because he's Narada. Devarshi, the rishi amongst the devas, they just accepted. They had enormous regard and respect for Narada. So they went. He instructed transcendental knowledge, and that means, Prabhupada explains in that section, it means devotional service. Transcendental knowledge means, from Narada, means transcendental knowledge, not just gyan, devotional service. And he explains, he got a blessing from Narada that he wouldn't forget. My mother forgot. Too much attached to Hiranyakashipu, she forgot. And he goes on to say, my dear friends, if you can place your faith in my words, this is important for us. If we can place our faith in Prahlad's words, simply by that faith, jeez, you can understand transcendental knowledge just like me, although you are small children. Hey, there's some small children here. And in our community, there's small children, so take the time and hear Srimad Bhagavatam together with those small children. Now here comes...
In due course of time, undergo six changes, birth, existence, growth, transformation, dwindling, and then death. The material body, which is obtained by the spirit soul, under different circumstances, undergoes similar changes. However, there are no such changes for the spirit soul. An expert geologist can understand where there is gold, and by various processes can extract it from the gold ore. Similarly, a spiritually advanced person can understand how the spiritual particle exists within the body, and thus By cultivating spiritual knowledge, he can attain perfection in spiritual life. However, as one who is not expert cannot understand where there is gold, a foolish person who has not cultivated spiritual knowledge cannot understand how the spirit exists within the body. Sober and expert persons should search for the spirit soul with minds purified through analytical study in terms of the soul's connection with and distinction from all things that undergo creation, maintenance, and destruction. Through polluted intelligence, one is subjected to the modes of nature, and thus one is conditioned by material existence. Like a dreaming state in which one falsely suffers, material existence, which is due to ignorance, must be considered unwanted and temporary. Of the different processes recommended for disentanglement from material life, the one personally explained and accepted by the Supreme Personality of Godhead should be considered all perfect. That process is the performance of duties by which love for the Supreme Lord develops. The real problem of life is the repetition of birth and death, which is like a wheel rolling repeatedly up and down. This wheel, however, completely stops when one is in touch with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In other words, by the transcendental bliss realized from constant engagement in devotional service, one is completely liberated from material existence. All learned men know this. Therefore, my dear friends, O son of the Asuras, immediately begin meditating upon and worshipping the Super Soul within everyone's heart. Oh, my friends, sons of the Asuras, the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his Super Soul feature always exists within the cores of the hearts of all living entities. Indeed, he is the well-wisher and friend of all living entities. And there is no difficulty in worshiping the Lord. Why then should people not engage in his devotional service? Why are they so addicted to unnecessarily producing artificial paraphernalia for sense gratification? a materialistic person, thinking himself very advanced in intelligence, continually acts for economic development. But again and again, as enunciated in the Vedas, he is frustrated by material activities, either in this life or in the next. Indeed, the results one obtains are inevitably the opposite of those one desires. In this material world, every materialist desires to achieve happiness and diminish his distress. And therefore, he acts accordingly. Actually, however, one is happy as long as one does not endeavor for happiness. As soon as one begins his activities for happiness, his conditions of distress begin. The Lord is only pleased if one has unflinching, unalloyed devotion to Him. Without sincere devotional service, everything is simply a show. My dear friends, O sons of the demons, in the same favorable way that one sees himself and takes care of himself, take to devotional service to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who's present everywhere as the Supersoul of all living entities. In this material world, to render service to the lotus feet of Govinda, the cause of all causes, and to see him everywhere is the only goal of life. This much alone is the ultimate goal of human life, as explained by all the revealed scriptures.
And that's the last verse of chapter 7. Now, what I want to do is go back and discuss those verses. If you recall, we started with text 18 and just glossed through 55, taking some of those verses that he spoke to his friends. And I selected those verses and would like to expand upon the meaning a bit, because this is Prahlad Maharaj helping his classmates come to the position from duality to transcendence. It's to help us go from duality, because so we're all practicing devotional service, different stages of devotional practice. So the message is appropriate for every one of us. And like he said to his classmates, here, it's not for me. hear from Prahlad with faith, and understanding can come. You know, the understanding is through bhakti, not by knowledge. But bhakti can be promoted by the sounds of Bhakta Prahlad and Bhakta Avatar Narada Muni and so forth. The problem I have is what, before I got here, I was able to view the slides one at a time, but there's the timing and it's moving the slides. So I'm a little, and I think it's because of this little device. If there's some way back there in the sound room to take the image that's on my screen and show it up there, then I can advance at my will, then maybe we've got a solution, and maybe not. I don't know. What's that?
We'll go back to... It was a good plan. Just not working out.
The first 17 verses is Prahlad's answer. How did he learn? And inviting his friends, no, he didn't say, hey, I was in the womb and I still remember, so, and I understood, so you're at least 5 years old, you know, you got a better shot at it than I did. He just describes the principle, hearing with faith. Prabhupada's explanation is the words of Narada were very powerful. He's Shaktivesh Avatar, empowered by the full bhakti shakti of the Supreme Lord. It can't get more powerful. And Prahlad was receptive. And he understood. Bhakti awakened. He understood, even in the womb, and he accepted and blessed by Narada, he remembered. So, the first of these images, let's go to slide number four. Slide number four. The one with the flowers. No. Slide number four, the one with the flowers. Up, up, up. Up, up. Okay, sit, sit. If you give me the slide changer, that would be good. That's very nice. Okay. Vairagya Vidya Nija Bhakti Yoga. And the parallel between Lord Chaitanya's teachings, Srimad Bhagavatam's teachings, and for that matter, Bhagavad Gita's teachings. So what Prahlad is doing is the same that Krishna does with Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita. He starts with the temporary nature of this world, the eternal position of the soul. So there's multiple distinctions being presented. So do you have the other microphone? In the purport, Prabhupada quotes a few verses of Bhagavad Gita. Najayate mriyate va kadachin. She's going to recite the verse slowly and clearly. He has to turn it on. He's going to turn it on. Go ahead.
Vanyamane
sharire.
Nahanyate hanyamane sharire. So there's distinction. This is knowledge. Distinction, this is sankhya. The distinction between matter and spirit. And there's several in Bhagavad Gita and also here. Bodies are born, souls are not born. Distinction, an item of knowledge. In the purport, Prabhupada quotes Madhvacharya, indicating something we hear many times. There's six changes of every living entity, including universe, but every body undergoes six changes. And the body undergoes changes, but the soul doesn't undergo changes. Prabhupada describes bodies grow because of the presence of the soul. Without the presence of the soul, bodies don't grow. There's no conception. There's no gestation. There's no birth without the soul. The body is dependent upon the soul. The soul is not dependent upon the body. Distinction. And then Prabhupada quotes 218 Bhagavad Gita, Antavantu. Keep going.
Nityasyokta sharirinaha anashino prameyasya tasmad yudhyasvabharata.
So the body is perishable and the soul isn't perishable. Nityas yokta sharirana, that the soul is eternal, the body is perishable. So this is knowledge. It's to help get clarification on this gold that's within the mountain. Whoops, now it's going on its own. So here's the gold ore verse, and its timing is going whether we want it to or not. Anyway, so the message of the verse is, with knowledge, a geologist knows how to find where there's gold, extract the gold from the mountain, and a person that doesn't have that knowledge doesn't know how to find the gold and extract the gold from the mountain. It's a metaphor. Similarly, those that are learned, they know that there's a soul within. They know how to identify the soul within, and they know how to act on the platform of the soul that's within. And those that don't have that knowledge, those that are not learned, they don't. So it's knowledge that leads to bhakti, because what's the point of knowing that there's gold within a mountain or that there's a soul within the body? To use the gold in Krishna's service and to use engaged a soul in the activities of devotional service. That's where the knowledge is supportive of bhakti. It leads to bhakti. But it's a discrimination factor. Intelligence is to understand one thing from another thing. Discerning. Discriminating. The temporary and the permanent. The soul and the body. That which undergoes changes and that which doesn't undergo change. And we belong to that category. That's us. Self-realization. And then maturing beyond that knowledge to knowledge of the Supreme. Now, Prabhupada goes on to say, just as the soul within the body causes changes, so the whole universe, one can understand, just as it's in second canto, one can understand by use of intelligence the presence of the Supreme Soul. the presence of the Supreme Soul by use of intelligence, because the universe is also undergoing some change. The planet, the universe, Mother Nature, and behind Mother Nature, there's, by use of intelligence, there's Paramatma. And the universe is expanding and doing whatever the universe is doing because the presence of the Supreme Soul. Otherwise, matter doesn't move. Matter doesn't undergo transformation. It's just inert matter because of the presence of the soul and the Supreme Soul. Whoops. There we go. So that's this verse here. Sober and expert person should search for the spirit soul with minds purified by analytical study in terms of the soul's connection with and distinction from those things that undergo change. It's sambandh gyan, which is part of, it's a subset of, it leads to and supports bhakti. That's why we're interested. And otherwise we're not interested. And it's why it's in the teachings of Bhagavad Gita, teaching of Kapila Dev, teachings of Prahlad. It's within the Bhagavatam. It's part of our assignment to go from mixed to unmixed bhakti, or attachment, undue attachment to the temporary, to attachment to the eternal. So we have to identify what the eternal is and what's the distinction between the eternal and non-eternal. So we had this little discussion twice yesterday about, you know, being over analytical. Over analytical is speculation. But the encouragement or instruction specifically here by Prahlad, and Prabhupada would say, try to understand. We use our faculty. That's not as blunt. Our intelligence is blunt. But the capacity is there, connecting it with descending knowledge to purify it. You need to purify your intelligence. Those who study the sacred conversation are worshiping me with their intelligence. The intelligence becomes purified by the sound vibration of Krishna and Prahlad and our great acharyas. The mind becomes pure. It's polluted. It becomes purified by meditating on transcendence, that which is beyond the temporary. And there's an involvement of the mind with the temporary. See beyond the temporary to see the eternal. The intelligent person, just like the geologist that knows there's gold within the mountain, leads to bhakti. Then this next is, though through polluted intelligence, one is subjected to the modes of nature. Thus one is conditioned. That's the picture on the left. Like a dreaming state in which one falsely suffers, material existence, which is due to ignorance, must be considered unwanted and temporary. Now, is the ignorance real? No. But due to ignorance, we identify with it. There's suffering in this world. We can say the suffering is like a dream. But when you're dreaming and you're suffering, you can cry out and scream. Ah! Oh, then you wake up. You know, we've all had some painful, bad dreams. But similarly, the happiness, it's like a dreaming state. It's a metaphor that's used multiple times in the Bhagavatam. Here's Prahlad using it. Reference, do you have the 1084 Bhagavatam verse? Yes? No?
No, I'm not sure.
There's a verse from the 10th canto, chapter 84. many of you are familiar with the verse. Yasyat mabuti kunape tridatuke. And one who has that buddhi, yasyatma buddhi kunape tri datuke. If you think your intelligence is the tri datu, the body made of these material elements, is the self, the buddhi, the intelligence of such a person is gokara, sa eva gokara. It's animalistic. It's not human. It's animalistic. It's below human existence. And then, based upon that, comes the rest. Identification with the temporary and finding happiness and suffering within that realm of duality, because that's the place. Sometimes and sometimes. That's the nature of the place. But neither the happiness nor the distress are real. They're reflections of reality. That's part of transcendental knowledge. Go for the eternal reality. That's the encouragement that Prahlad is making. Now we'll carry on. Of the different processes recommended for disentanglement with material life. I mean, Buddha has his idea. The one personally explained and accepted by the Supreme Personality of Godhead should be considered all perfect. Characteristic, that process is the performance of duties by which love for the Supreme Lord develops. That's the litmus test. Does devotion for the source of everything, do you make the connection with the source of everything and feel a sense of devotion to that source of everything? It's taking the message he gave before that a relationship with Narayan is natural because he's the father and we're the child of the father. It's natural. Sorry about technology. So, in the purport, Prabhupada gives this classic of the body, my body, and then the observer of the body. It's like a long explanation. We say, my body, we say, my arm, my hand, my head, and then there's the possessor of the arm and the head and the body. So there's a distinction. And that's us. And again, same for the supersoul. There's, the earth, and there's the support of the earth, the prakriti and the purusha. It's basic teachings within the Vedas, and those that are not familiar with the Vedas or don't have proper teachers for understanding the Vedas, they miss the boat, they miss the importance of the human form of life. He refers Bhagavad Gita chapter 7, text 7, Matak Paracharam Nanyat.
Yat Kinchidasti Dananjaya Mai Sarvamidam Protam Sutre Manigana Iva.
Very important verse that Krishna is the thread upon which pearls are strung. He is the highest truth, and all other truths are subordinate to and dependent upon him. There is no truth superior to him. Truth in the Vedic sense of that which is the origin of everything, or the basis and support, the pratishtha of everything. That's Krishna. Including the temporary. Including the eternal. Including the soul. Including everything. He is the highest truth. We can't see the thread within the string of pearls. But we know there's a thread, otherwise it wouldn't be in a string. they'd be scattered. The order in the universe is because of Krishna. And not otherwise. Remove Krishna, there's no order. Shri Shri Radha Shama Sundara Ki Jai. Now, do you have your Bhagavatam Canto 7? Yes? Could you bring 7:27, because that's next. Open the page. Oops. 37. Yeah, 37. Yeah, 37. The real problem of life, birth and death. Bhagavad Gita, right? It's a Bhagavad Gita class in the Bhagavatam version, the graduate study. And even these are five-year-old boys, he's giving him the graduate study Bhagavatam message. The comparison is to a wheel, continuously moving up and down. That's the time energy, kala, shakti, time. It's like a wheel, it crushes everything. Time destroys everything. Up and down and up and down. In other words, by the transcendental bliss realized from constant engagement in devotional service, one is completely liberated from material existence. So I wanted to read from the purport. There's a nice paragraph. Not so well organized this morning, I'm very sorry. Oops. Going back to this text. Sorry. Prabhupada. As advised by Maharaj Rishabhdev, the sadhu manye yata atmano yam asanapi kleshada asha deha. One must be intelligent enough to understand that although one's body is temporary and will not endure for long as he has a body, he must undergo the pangs of material existence. Therefore, if by good association, by the instructions of a bona fide spiritual master, one takes to Krishna consciousness, his conditional life of material existence is vanquished, and his original consciousness, known as Krishna consciousness, is revived. Doesn't mean you don't have pangs, but your Krishna consciousness is revived. The identification with the pang subsides. Doesn't mean you become a devotee, you don't catch a flu. You don't get cancer. You don't get in a car accident. You don't have a problem. Doesn't mean that. Well, wait a minute, Krishna. I'm a good person. My friend's a good person. He's undergoing difficulty. What happened? Krishna checked out. Doesn't mean pangs stop. As long as one has a body, it's going to be there. Duality. And you deal with it in a Krishna conscious way, and thus the pangs disappear. Pangs means the suffering that's in the mind. And even on the platform of the senses, it's detachment from all of that. When one is Krishna conscious, he can realize that material existence whether one is awake or dreaming is nothing but a dream and has no factual value. This realization is possible by the grace of the Supreme Lord. This grace is also present in the form of the instructions of Bhagavad Gita. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission is for everyone to engage in welfare activities to awaken the foolish living entity, especially in human society, so that he may come to the platform of Krishna consciousness and benefit by liberation from conditional life. So, can we go to the next slide? Can we go to the next slide? Okay. So, how are these things to be understood? They're to be understood by proper association. Yasya Devi Para Bhaktir.
Yatha deve tatha guru tasyaite katita hyartha prakashante mahatmanah.
We showed this on the screen yesterday, so it's repeat. It's good to repeat. Svetashvatara Upanishad. Yasya deve para bhaktir yatha deve tatha guru. By implicit faith in Krishna and Guru, then all the truths of the Vedas can be known. This is transcendental knowledge, my dear classmates. To realize this, we need this implicit faith. He was inviting implicit faith in his words. He's taking the position of Shiksha Guru for his students, based on what he heard from Narada. And he has realized it. So he's taking that position and directing their faith to the Supreme Lord. Then comes this wheel of time. Now, in the translation here, there's description of transcendental bliss. By the transcendental bliss realized from constant engagement in devotional service. But the Sanskrit isn't constant engagement in devotional service bliss. It's Brahma, Nirvana, Sukha. Now, if you're a Mayavadi, great. Brahma, Nirvana, Sukha. Cessation of misery by achieving Nirvana. So then, Prabhupada makes reference to the Brahma-Bhuta Prasanatma Nasojati Nakangsati Samaksarveshu Bhuteshu Madbhaktim Labhate Param. Brahma-Bhuta stage, the Brahma-Bhuta stage is the stage of transcendental happiness. Brahma-Bhuta. And that Brahma-Bhuta stage can be cessation of material suffering by entering into Brahman, which is a little different than Buddha's, you enter into nothing, but this is enter into Brahma. So it's Brahma Nirvana, Sukha. Keep going. That's what Prabhupada explains in this kind of long purport. Brahman, what is Brahman? It's the effulgence of Krishna. And Krishna is chapter 14, last verse. Krishna is the basis and support of Brahma. So let's do this. Here we are in the temporary. Prahlad is teaching how to go beyond the temporary. And so beyond the temporary is nirvana. No longer temporary. And then you can enter what's beyond nirvana. It's Brahman. Spiritual light. What's beyond nirvana of Brahma is Bhagavan. And in relation to Bhagavan, that's the whole connection of yoga, is to bring one to Bhagavan. That's Prahlad's teaching. So when one has that happiness, that transcendental happiness of connection with Krishna or Bhagavan or Narayana, the supreme person, this temporary fade, darkness fades, the valuing of the temporary fades. Oh, my friends, sons of the Asuras, the Supreme Personality of Godhead in His Supersoul feature always exists in the core of the hearts of all living entities. He's the well-wisher, Bhagavad Gita chapter 5, text 29. He's the well-wisher, he's the friend, he's the proprietor of everything, he's everywhere. Why not? Why go back to the temporary and create artificial paraphernalia for sense gratification? The platform of illusion and misery without solving the real problems. Then the final verse, whoops, not the final verse. Materialistic life looks good, but it ends in misery. Bhagavad Gita. Ehi samsparsha jabhoga dukha yonaya evate. Don't go for the temporary because it brings misery. Thinking there's happiness in the temporary brings misery. Every time. Punash charva, the charva na nam, again and again. Inevitably, as soon as one begins activities for happiness, his conditions of distress begin. Accept your position, whatever is due. It's already been discussed. Whatever the form of life you're in, whatever the form of life you're in, besides human form of life, there's a certain amount of happiness and distress. Why is one dog a street dog, another dog is a, you know, got a luxurious life? Vaisheshika Prabhu was explaining when they were doing door-to-door book distribution in Silicon Valley. Big houses, family off to work, husband, wife, kids off at school, big palatial house, and inside's a little dog. Woof, woof. This is my palace. And it's gone. The dog's gone, the kids are gone, everything is gone. Chasing after that apparition brings misery in this life or the next, as it's described, for sure. A life without devotion, sincere devotion, is an empty stage. It feels like that too. If one is honest, you know, some people don't have that introspection. We discussed this introspection topic yesterday twice. Look inside, and is it a real satisfaction? The same as we embrace our own self-interest extend that same tendency to the interest of the Supreme, and you'll be happy. That was one of the questions, text 19 of chapter 5. Really? I'm going to be happy this way? Yes. Happy and peaceful. And it's true. Well, I'm not so sure. I've got 1 foot in 2 boats trying to cross the river. Jagatananda Pandit in his Prema Vivarta says, I advise against trying to cross a river with 1 foot in 2 different boats. You'll end up in the river. Put both feet in the bhakti boat. That's bhakti. And then our final verse of the whole chapter. In this material world, to render service to the lotus feet of Govinda, the cause of all causes, and to see him everywhere, super soul feature, is the only goal of life. This much alone is the ultimate goal of life, as explained in all the revealed scriptures. Govindam Adipurusham Tamaham Bhajami. Well, that was a little bit of a struggle technology-wise, but there's chapter 7. The second part of Prahlad's instructions to his classmates. And we squeaked in before 9:15. Any comments or questions? If I have to do this again, I'm going to do it a little differently, technology-wise, for sure. Yes. Do we have the microphone? Can you pass the microphone? Why don't you carry it around this morning? Just stand by.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna Maharaj. You mentioned that knowledge takes you to bhakti.
Knowledge is what?
Takes you to bhakti.
It's due to bhakti.
Takes you to bhakti, closer to bhakti.
It carries one to bhakti.
Yes. So there is a chance that a person may get puffed up with knowledge. So
yeah.
How can one be cautious of it?
Well, by knowing that you can get puffed up by knowledge.
So how can...
Yeah, cultivate humility. Mm-hmm. Recognize you're very tiny. And there's a tendency. So I want to be, you know, we had this discussion already. These days, there's not too many stop signs that's just flashing yellow, but it used to be flashing yellow. Flashing yellow meant this is a dangerous intersection. We're not requiring that you stop. Now it's flashing red. Before it was flashing yellow. Dangerous intersection, proceed slowly. Look left, look right, because it's a danger. So knowledge or things, you know, opulence, the byproducts of piety, opulence. Janma, Aishvara, Shruta, Shri. All four of them, not just knowledge. The fruits of piety are to be cautiously handled because it can lead one into pride. My birth, my beauty, my knowledge, my education, and all that I can do with my education, look at me. You know, proud. So it doesn't mean don't be pious. Be pious, but be cautious. And that caution ultimately is bhakti. Whatever comes, it's meant for Krishna. Whatever comes, it comes from Krishna, it's meant for Krishna. That's the protection. And bhakti is weak and it's a setup. for pride. Yes, over here.
Guru Maharaj, that 7.7.42 is very striking for me particularly.
Which one?
42. Which says that as long as one is not endeavoring for happiness, one can be happy. While our fundamental nature is that we are pleasure seeking because anandamayo abhyasat.
Yes.
So it
has to do with the definition of what is happiness. Just like what's the definition of friend enemy? On the platform of duality, happiness is
so I felt that it is stating that one is happy as long as one does not endeavor for happiness. It's essentially one does not endeavor for happiness on materialistic platform, but one should be seeking the shelter of the Supreme Lord.
Something I really like about the Sudama Brahman story is the explanation given by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. He was so poor. And now someone might say, Vishwanath reasons, well, Krishna was neglecting him, but he's a devotee, so why is he so poor? He was so skinny. And they didn't even have anything in the house when he went to go see Krishna, so he had to go borrow something from some neighbor. You know, so Krishna wasn't being kind. But the explanation is, Sudama had the disposition that he didn't want, because he saw having might bring pride. So he didn't want. So Krishna didn't interfere with his devotion. But then when he came to Krishna on behalf of his good wife, Krishna gave. But he didn't fall prey to the object of the senses, the opulence, because that was his heart. So not hankering, it's a core teaching of Prahlad. Don't ask for anything. Whatever you need, same as Bhagavad Gita, yoga kshema vahamyam, Krishna will supply. And my happiness is in that relationship. And when something does come, my necessities are there. I don't have to worry. No, we don't become lazy and complete. We strive according to our position in society. Prabhupada is a sannyasi, you know, build temples, raise money various ways to build the Vrindavan temple and the Juhu temple and for Krishna, but not with an idea of being an enjoyer of that facility or being recognized as something, you know, gross or subtle enjoyment. But for Krishna, that's enjoyment, and the other is not. And not endeavoring for that is happiness. But instead, you endeavor for Krishna's happiness. That's happiness. Making the distinction between spiritual and material, that's a necessity. And if one isn't a devotee, then you can't make that distinction. Spiritual means zero. False renunciation. Time for one more question, if there is, and if not, we'll move on. Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.